Andrew Fagan has obviously had a difficult day as the CEO of the, and a tragic day to deal with as the CEO of the Adelaide Crows, and he's waiting on the line. Andrew, our commiserations to you and everyone at the club and obviously the family, and we appreciate you for taking our call for a very short chat tonight.
No, thanks, guys. I appreciate that. Received lots of support today, and it's certainly been helpful to everyone.
Well, just take us through your day and what you've had to deal with today, and just how the club has reacted and responded.
Yeah, look, it's been a long and a tough day. I got in here just before 4 a.m. this morning after receiving a call from my chairman, who had received a call a few minutes earlier from the police, alerting us to the news, and from then it was a case of working out how we could do a couple of things. One is provide all the support we could to Meredith and to Phil's family, and equally, beginning to inform the players at the club and putting in place the support framework that they needed to have around them. And we did that, and so started making some really difficult phone calls to the coaching group, to the playing group, and just working with them. But mate, it's been devastating.
How did they react? How did the coaches? How did the players? Everyone who didn't know him very well were just numb and sad. But for those that have been working with him in such an intense manner, it must have been just so difficult for them to comprehend.
Yeah, look, it was, and as you could only imagine, it's just been a lot of shock, guys, within the club all year. So it was just shock and dismay, confusion. Certainly, I think many were struggling to comprehend that it was actually true. That's continued for some right throughout the day. There's been a lot of shaking of heads and just struggling to contemplate that this has actually happened. With all of us, as I think Cam, as you were saying, everyone's remembering the conversation they had with him last night, yesterday at lunch, or yesterday morning, or the day before, and I think, as we all know, Phil, every conversation you have with him is impactful. That's how he communicated, with absolute clarity. He was always unambiguous in his dialogue. So everyone, would remember, that last conversation that I had with him. So, look, it's been tough, but the good thing about footy clubs, these incidents, as tragic as they are, do take place, often in the world in which we live. Yeah. The benefit we have as a footy club is the support structures that exist around us, and not just within our club, but within the football community more broadly. And they come out in spades on days like this. And we obviously put in place the welfare mechanisms with the players, trauma counsellors and the like, our chaplain and other sort of player development staff, and just the leaders within the club doing what they needed to do. But then just the overwhelming support that we've received from the from supporters, our partners has just been extraordinary. There's been, and we've had hundreds, thousands probably of people come to the club today to just visit, to pay their respects, and it's been overwhelming, and we've relied on it.
Andrew, we've all watched a lot of footy news conferences over the years, but I can't remember one I've watched over my career that has been as moving as the one you gave with Rob Chapman. And look, well done on that. It was extremely well handled, and I think it probably really helped humanise what's happened for a lot of people. I guess it's difficult for you and Rob and anyone there who has to deal with your own personal grief, and yet you also have to be there, I guess, in a sense, to cater to the grief of not only people within the club, but the entire Adelaide football supporting community. And it's, how do you even begin to sort of get your head around going about that task, and how do you go about it?
Yeah, mate, look, it's a bit of a challenge, to be fair, but one of the things that we did very early on, and Rob and I spoke about this at 4 a.m. this morning, was the need to set up the support structures for everybody, but then to make sure that all of those leaders who were in the club providing support to others each person needed a buddy. Each person needed someone else checking on them. So, you know, I didn't want to impose, you know, roles on the leadership group without ensuring that the leadership group was going to look after each other. Just as the same way that Rob and I have relied, you know, on each other to look after each other today, and, you know, the other members of the board and senior staff have done the same. So, you know, you get through these things as a team, and that's the way in which we've handled it. And we wanted to map that out at the beginning to ensure that no one was left alone, and, you know, it goes to myself included, and you just do it. And unfortunately for me, I've had very different circumstances, but as I was asked at the press conference today, a player who tragically passed away in my former role in rugby, and so in the same way, you just deal with devastation through, you know, through the support of those around you, and at least initially, and then we'll move on and deal with some of the other logistical, you know, matters down the track. So, mate, the answer is you just do it because you need to do it, and that's the job of the leaders in the club, and so we did our best today.
I get, just in terms of those logistics, so I guess it's almost impossible to put any sort of time frame on any decision about what happens going ahead. Do you have some sort of time frame in your mind of when you sort of need to get the ball rolling again, or are you just sort of going to let things play out?
Well, look, I want to see how things play out over the next 48 hours, but you know, it would have been unreasonable to ask the players to play this weekend, you know, with only a couple of days to our scheduled Sunday fixture. Not just on the players here, but on the Geelong players as well. I just think it would have been an unfair request and a distressing one. So, you know, but the guys are going to play again. That's what we do. And you overcome tragedy. And I think one of the things that, again, not foreshadowing too much what's happening here because we've got to work our way through it, but it helps to have routine. It helps to settle into the routine that these, you know, elite athletes have known for, you know, most of their adult life, and, you know, even their teenage years in many respects. And, you know, we'll give the guys some space and some time, and we'll still stick close. But then we'll eventually work our way back into the routine, and, you know, we've got to get out there and play, and that's what we'll do. So, you know, we'll just initially look at the next 48 hours or so, and then we'll begin to, you know, map out the way forward.
Well, Andrew, you kind of just answered my question. I mean, I was going to say, what do you do with the players over the next 24, 48 hours? Do they stay at the club? Do you bring them in together? Or do you just let them go home and just do what they have to do?
Yeah, look, this morning we certainly said we got them all in very early, and we held them together at the club just so we could all spend some time together. And we gathered some time, then we met with them, we gathered some more time, and we met with them again, and a bit more time, and we met with a few others just to make sure that we had everyone covered off and that people were comfortable before they then, you know, went and joined their partners and others. We had the partners as well being looked after, relying on each other to get through. And tonight a few of us will, you know, we'll gather and, you know, again, spend some time with each other, and then look, we'll, you know, we'll gather again tomorrow at the club, and as you need to. We want lots of touch points here, the thing that's important to recognise here is that, you know, we've got 45 players, we've got a heap of staff, and everyone's going to deal with this differently. We can't apply a cookie cutter approach to it all, and they'll grieve differently. They'll respond differently, and we'll just need to cater for that. And some guys will be, you know, be ready to go because that's their way sooner than others. And so we'll just make that assessment across the entire group over the coming days, and yeah, we'll work our way through it.
One last one, Andrew. Is there not necessarily an anecdote, but just could you give some brief examples of you touched on the start, that the memorable, impactful Phil Walsh, the man you've come to deal with on a day-by-day basis, who has made such a big impact on your footy club?
Oh, mate, there's a bunch. He was a unique individual, whether it was his strange sleeping habits, his sudden ability to speak Japanese and to drop Japanese phrases into meetings. The ability to finish a lot of statements with, do we have clarity? I always put a smile to my face. But perhaps one that I actually told the other day, and it brought a smile to my face when I was telling it to those that heard it, was actually during the interview process that I held not long after my arrival at the club. And we'd asked Phil to analyse a quarter of footy, and he did so. And he did it live for us, even though we told him he could take half an hour and to then come back and report on it half an hour later. He said, don't worry about that, I'll just do it in front of you. So I thought, okay, here's a bloke that's just overtaken the interview process for us. So he began to do it live for us, and he was calling it like he was in the box. He called it a senior coach, and he was issuing instructions. And I'd only been at the club for a day, so I was suddenly being viewed as an assistant coach. I was a bit concerned when he was yelling, asking me who was on who. And I quickly turned to Mark Rusciuto and said, mate, you better answer this one. But the thing that was amusing is the quarter of footy was against Richmond and at Adelaide Oval, and he made a ridiculously insightful remark a few minutes in about the need to ensure that we had someone on Dustin Martin, because he's known for drifting forward and kicking a sneaky goal, and he said he could cost us here, we've got to stick on him. Anyway, he went through for the next half an hour and delivered his message, and as you might recall that game, Dustin Martin actually did kick the winning goal with a couple of minutes to go. And about 2 weeks later, I said to Phil, after he got the job and we're in at the office, and I said, mate, I've got to ask you a question, that interview. And he said, yeah. You know, we're a couple of minutes into that quarter of analysis that we sprung on you. He said, we've got to be careful, we've got to watch Dustin Martin. He said, yeah, and he had a smirk on his face. And I said, mate, that's tremendously insightful. And I had a smirk on my face. And he said, yeah. He said, I thought I might have been too cute. And he said, about 5 minutes in, I thought to myself, I've seen this game. he said, I couldn't help myself. And I said, oh, mate, look, you're lucky it wasn't the thing that got you the job. But he was a tremendous character. As you appropriately said, he's very intense, very determined, very competitive, but certainly insightful, intelligent, and caring, with a great sense of humour that not a lot of people saw outside the club. But a lot of people saw inside here, and he'll be forever missed.
Gone way, way too soon, Andrew. We appreciate your time. We really do, on such a traumatic day. Thanks for your time, and good luck with all that comes ahead of you.
Good on you guys. I appreciate the support. Thanks.